chickens in the houses, they got chickens in the trees, chicken in the pots, the martyr walk the Petaloomies, out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay? Now Marvin got me started, sold me my first hen. Now I got 4 and 20, and 24 more again. I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay? Chicken in the morning, it's chicken in the night. Weren't for chicken, Petaluma never would have reached its height. I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, smart talk about food, wine, farming, and this evening, fishing. Fishing and not fishing. Before we get to our guests and the topic at hand, which is the bad news about Dungeness crab, or Dungeness crab season anyway, just wanted to tell you about a couple things. Coming up this Tuesday evening at Spinster Sisters, the restaurant in the south of Market district there, right on the corner of South A, and Sebastopol Avenue, I will be doing a special dinner. I'm not doing the cooking, but recipes are from two of my most recent books, The Good Cook's Book of Oil and Vinegar and The Good Cook's Book of Salt and Pepper. Chef Liza Hinman and I put together, I think, a four or five course menu, but the first two courses each have three dishes from the books. So you get a lot of really yummy nibbles. There are wines paired with the courses, and when you go, you get a choice of one of those two books. This is all sponsored by Book Passage in Corte Madera. It's part of their Dinner with Authors series, and there are still seats available. It's a little pricey, $95, but that includes everything, tax, tip, a book, which the books run with tax $21. So it's all inclusive. It's going to be a really special evening. Some very special guests are going to be there. I'm trying to bump it up to a few more people. So if you would like to go, you can simply go to bookpassage.com and search their events. And there's just a click through for signing up if you don't want to sign up that way, but you're kind of interested. You can go to my Facebook page, or you can just go to Facebook. There is an event page for this with all the details. Or you can send me an email at catsmilk@sonic.net. And I will take care of whatever you need me to take care of for you. And then also, I am going to be speaking at Paradise Ridge Winery on Thursday evening. I believe things start at 6:30. It is an annual fundraiser for the Sonoma County Wine Library, which is just such an amazing resource. I think it's one of the best wine libraries in the country. So I will be there. It is open to the public. I will have my books there. I'll probably bring a couple appetizers from the books. And I know that there's other food and, of course, wine at this event. I don't know what it costs, but things never cost very much for the wine library. It's always like $5 or $10. And I'll be doing, I guess, what they're calling the keynote address. And in the brochure, it says they'll be talking about my culinary experiences in Sonoma County, which isn't really quite what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be doing a talk entitled Sonoma Baptism. And it will tell a story of my first time in Sonoma County in the Russian River. I barely survived. I was brought back to life as a little tyke. And I've always thought, you know, maybe that's just what has put Sonoma County in my blood. And I'll be talking about just my adventures along the back roads. To me, culinary always implies chefs and something a little more formal than just getting out into the back roads. And I came here when I was so young that I really taught myself to cook to a large degree simply by buying the things that attracted me, you know, going to farms, going out to Bodega Bay. I still remember this one time. Went to Bodega Bay, and this was in the early 70s, and I bought a whole salmon, and I came home. I was living on a farm in Lakeville. I dug a hole in my backyard, which, you know, it was a farm. So, you know, cows grazed. I just dug this hole. I filled it with charcoal, and it got the charcoal burning. And I wrapped up the salmon in aluminum foil, and I put in some butter and some salt and pepper, and I probably put in some herbs, and I put it in the hole. And it was so good. And I didn't open a cook. I just did it. And that's really what I did here in Sonoma County for a very long time. So those are the sorts of things that I'm going to be talking about. And I'm also going to be speculating a little bit about what the future may hold for Sonoma County and how we hang on to what is most precious. And to me, what is most precious is our farms, farmers, ranchers, ranches, fishermen, our coast, and all of the unique quirkiness and wonderful kaleidoscope that implies. We do not want to become a homogenized restaurant-only culture. And restaurants are great. I love to go to restaurants to see friends and not have to clean up my kitchen. I also like to have friends over for dinner. Anyway, that's what I'm doing Thursday night. Again, I think there's a Facebook page for that event, and you can always send me an email.
The Friends of the Sonoma County Library is $33 to $48.
Oh, okay. It's a little... I guess there's dinner or something. Is there dinner or something?
Looks like a lot of appetizers, Grapevine Catering paired with...
Oh, that's right.
Paradise Ridge Wines.
That's right. Grapevine Catering. So there you go. It is a little pricier. What time does it start?
It's 6 to 9 p.m., uh-huh. Thursday the 12th.
I have to leave early to get home in time for Scandal. But, yeah, anyway, it's a great cause. It is a great library, and I promise to say things other than what I've just said here on the radio. Okay, a few days ago, I'm not sure if it was earlier this week, but we'll find out momentarily, I swear you could hear cries go up throughout Sonoma County and probably all of the North Coast. I had on KGO radio, which I sometimes listen to in the morning because it's less distracting than getting all excited listening to good music. And I heard the news person say they've closed the Dungeness crab season for 180 days or until the toxins are gone. And I just practically got whiplash because 180 days, isn't that 6 months? That's crazy. And then at top of every hour, they said the same thing. So I immediately called Tony Anello, my go-to guy for so much information about what is going on in Bodega Bay with crabbing and with other things to do with that wonderful part of the Pacific Ocean. So on that sad note, Tony, welcome. Also, I have to say welcome to Holly, Tony's granddaughter, and to Carol, who brought me her famous award-winning clam chowder, but doesn't want to talk this evening, and neither does Holly. Holly, is your last name
Montelli.
Montelli. Okay, and we're so glad that your house did not. You live in Middletown, and very happy to hear that things are okay. And thanks to both of you for coming. So, Tony, what is going on?
Oh, thank you for this opportunity, Michelle.
You know, the industry out in Bodega Bay is dependent, basically 85% of a fisherman's income out in Bodega Bay right now is the crab industry. So we were hoping, we knew that this Dumoic acid is out there because of the algae bloom, because of the warm water.
Now, is this, somebody asked me this, this isn't what they call the red tide, is it?
No, okay, it's
so.
Not the red tide. They, a lot of people figure that it is the red tide that causes domoic acid. We test every year prior to the season for domoic acid. And one of our boats, I used to do it, but one of the other gentlemen out there does it now. And they bring it down to a lab in Richmond, and they test it for levels of domoic acid. Now, the acid threshold is 30 parts per million, which it could be a safe area to work in. But the acid has tested way over that in certain areas, up and down the whole coast, all the way up into outside in the outside area of Washington.
Oh, it's gone that far north.
It has gone that far. And last summer, Washington closed down for a period of time. Now, experience shows that the acid does dissolve and get out of the innards of the crab. Usually it's in the viscera. Now they're worried about it possibly being in the meat. It officially hasn't come out yet that it was in the meat, but they're taking no chances, and
right.
We support that as commercial fishermen, because the market could be devastated if somebody does get sick on it.
Mm-hmm. And what actually is it?
Yeah, it's a neurotoxin that develops in the innards of the crab, because basically what they
eat the algae.
They filter the algae through their gills. Mm-hmm. They also the crab's main diet is clams and squid, and you know, naturally if the clams ingest it through their inner, the crabs eat the clams, and then they'll get the domoic acid in their system. So what we're trying right now is the Association, Fishermen's Marketing Association of Bodega Bay, had a meeting yesterday morning, and we decided that we are in support of the state's closure, even though it's devastating to us, because it's really like 85% of our income.
Is there such a thing as insurance against this sort of thing?
No.
Oh,
I don't believe so. You know, and some of the skippers take out unemployment for their crews. Some of them don't, because most of the crews are independent contractors. So we don't take out. They do it on their own. And there's the ones, the guys that are going to be hurt the most. A lot of us have managed properly, and we can probably sit out for a few months. A lot of us can't.
Yeah.
I got, some very close to me in my own family are really having a hard time of it.
Yeah. Now, it's... where is it? In listening to news reports, I've gathered that it's not right out the coast. It's a little bit further out.
Well, it could be right close to the shore.
Oh, okay.
You know, on all the way out to 300 to 600 feet in the ocean. You know, usually we say 300 fathoms. That's quite a depth. And the tests have shown right now that it's. It could dissipate in the near future, but we're proponents of testing every week. If the Fish and Game or the Health Department allows us to go out and catch a product, we have to be sanctioned by the Fish and Game to do it.
You mean to go out and get something for testing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we have to get a letter of permission, basically, to go out and test. Now, we're going to do that on our own expense to get this out there so we can get the crab season opened up.
So, and would that potentially speed up? By which I mean, you taking it on by fishermen, you'll do it more often than Fish and Game?
Well, we would like to test every week. Every 7 days.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to allow us to do that. I'm sure they're getting a lot of support from the recreational fisheries fishermen to get out there and get it tested.
Yeah.
And get it open so they can enjoy their aspect of the industry. And then we can go out and make our living.
Make your living,
which
right.
I think is more important than the recreational.
Sure.
At this point.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I would always put fishermen making a living be above the recreational. Recreational, you got next year and you have nothing to lose.
Exactly.
Do you know what caused, I mean, we know that the warming ocean causes it. Is that something to do with El Nino? Is it more dire? Do we get into the territory of global warming?
Well, I don't know if it could have contributed to by global warming. You know, a lot of people, they're on that kick right now that global warming is taking care of everything, basically wrong. But it is a natural phenomenon that happens constantly. We have tested every year for I've been in the business since 1970. We have tested every year for domoic acid. It hasn't been this apparent.
Ever?
Well, it has up north. 15, 18 years ago, my brother told me he went up there and he sat out for anywhere from a month to 6 weeks. I wasn't going up there at that time, so I don't remember it. Mm-hmm. I always fished local, but it has shut down a season temporarily before.
Okay, it has. Okay.
Yes, and it's could be caused by the El Nino, and it clears out, but we don't know how long it's going to take to clear out.
Mm-hmm. And is the clearing out the result of just a natural die off of the algae, or a change in the algae?
Well, it's probably the dissipating properties of the algae that causes the domoic acid. There's a lot of theories. My personal theory is that it is to contribute to the warm water and the lack of currents that we experienced this year, this summer.
Oh, we're having it. I don't know about that.
Well, that's my theory. I'm not a scientist, but I have 45 years of experience.
Yeah. Yeah, I just didn't realize there had been a lack of currents.
So. Lack of currents, lack of upwellings, lack of movement in the ocean. And we were anticipating a pretty decent crab season this year. And now it's like, who knows if the crab are going to be around when they do open it up.
We need to know who the patron saint of crabs is so that we can all do little altars.
The patron saint of fishermen is St. Peter, naturally. He was a fisherman. And Jesus naturally went down and he hung out with four fishermen. So
so maybe we all need to set up little altars and ask St. Peter to take care of the fishermen. And on that note, I think the water boys is particularly appropriate right now.
Tumbling on the seas, far away from dry land and its bitter memories, casting out my sweet life with abandonment that love. Now, ceiling bearing down on me, save the starry sky above with light in my head. You in my
Fisherman's Blues by the Water Boys. I just love that song, and it is so appropriate. Now, we are talking with Tony Anello, who might be most familiar to people because of Spud Point Crab Shack. Is it Spud Point Crab Shack?
No, Crab Company.
Crab Company, that's right. I always do it wrong, Crab Company.
We try to keep it upbeat, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And I've had them on before talking about that. The Bodega Bay clam chowder tasting, which I think it takes place in February.
Yes.
Yeah, February. You guys pretty much always win first place.
Well, we have for 11 years in a row.
Yeah.
And we're very grateful for that. And they're trying to work out, it's kind of funny because they're trying to work out other ways of exposing more restaurants and giving them a shot to compete against us, mm-hmm. which I think is fair.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's hard to be humble when you know you're the best. You know,
there is that.
That's what we used to say that in the fire department all the time.
And, you know, how one person who really loves your clam chowder is my grandson, Lucas. I have been taking him out there to eat your clam chowder since he was two.
We don't
go out there so much anymore to do that because, you know, he's 14.
Oh.
He does not want to hang with me much of the time.
Oh, that's too bad. He better cherish you.
He does, but, you know, he'd much rather go to the skate park
and,
you know, hang out. And I totally understand. But he loves the clam chowder. Now, I'm curious. I want to talk a little bit about how this situation is going to affect what you do at the restaurant. Is it going to have an impact?
Well, you know, we have connections, basically, that we can get our crabs from the untainted areas. For instance, up in the Puget Sound. Mm-hmm. Right now, it's open, and they have open enclosures, so many days open, so many days closed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, up there, the crabs on the inside are not tainted with this domoic acid.
Oh, okay.
So, basically, we have connections, being in the business a while.
Sure.
We have connections that we can get our product from them.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to sell whole cooked crabs from any place until this is all done.
All done, right.
Yeah. Now, we'll get our crab meat from up there for our crab sandwiches and our crab cocktails, but we're not going to expose anybody out, you know, to whole cooked crabs because you never know where they could come from.
Oh, gosh.
And, you know, there's, who knows? Somebody could, I'm not saying that people can do this, but they could go to a tainted area and fish.
Sure.
And then, you know, then it just goes downhill from there.
Yeah, well, I say get those altars to St. Peter's up and going because we need crab and fishermen need to earn a living. And I don't know if you've heard, probably have, Mark Maliki, the chef who cooks, I think he cooks from Thursday through Monday at Casino in Bodega.
Mm-hmm.
He posts on Facebook. He often posts his menus on Facebook. He posted this long, heartfelt notice a few days ago that any Bodega Bay fisherman who comes in, he is feeding them for free.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Because for the duration of what's going on.
That's awesome. You know, there is a lot of crew members there that can really use that.
Yeah, we should let people know.
I'll let them know.
And I'm thinking we should just organize a benefit with an auction right there at Casino. Let Mark Cook open up the that big community room. And who knows, maybe we could even do something in the theater. You know, that little theater is one of my favorite places in Sonoma County. I've always wanted to do some sort of performance in that theater.
Well, that's the Casino's considered the fisherman's bar.
Well, so, that's great.
Yeah,
that's great. I love that place.
We visit it every once in a while.
Uh-huh. So I wanted to go back to what's happening with the, is it domoic?
Well, you.
Am I saying that right?
Domoic?
Domoic.
I think it's domoic, yeah.
Not demonic.
Well, I'll butcher anything like that. Uh-huh. You know,
demonic sort of has a nice ring to it as well.
Oh, yeah, it's just a definite killer ring.
No, somebody was telling me just a couple days ago that it's not affecting only crab, and you mentioned the squid and the clams, but it's also affecting anchovies and sardines.
Well, it's not affecting the squid, but the crabs do eat the squid, and the crab's main diet is the clam.
Okay.
It is affecting, what I hear, it's affecting the anchovies and the mackerel.
Oh, okay.
And the plankton-eating finfish. And even who knows what's killing the whales, you know?
Oh, the whales that have, and the whales eat massive amounts of plankton.
And they also eat, some species of whales eat massive amount of anchovies.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know, so these whales that have come up now and then, on the shore, and no one knows why they've died? Is that...
Well, you know, that's could be. Who knows?
Yeah.
You know, I haven't got an official word on it. Mm-hmm. There's something else that the crabbers are facing here. We were facing a whale entanglement situation.
Yes.
And we're doing everything we can to work with the people that want to. Actually, it was really devastating. We went down to a meeting down in Oakland about this whale entanglement a month and a half ago. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty dangerous area to be treading in, because that's another issue that can affect us, our living. Mm-hmm. You know, they're talking about different things that we may have to do, and it's not feasible on some.
What kind of things are they recommended?
Well, they're not educated enough to know what goes down on out there fishing, mm-hmm. and they speculate that, oh, maybe we can put two traps on one gang, one line. You can't do that. That's too dangerous for people on deck. It's too dangerous. We can't get through the gear. It's going to take you 3 days to get through the gear. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just not. This El Nino moves the currents around. The whales are moving in closer to the shore, so there's more. Mm-hmm. There's more entanglement, and they're showing it on the air all the time that whales are entangled. Well, you know, my son, I've been fishing for 40 something years, 45 years. I never did see a whale entangled, but they do get entangled. Mm-hmm. And my son came upon one, and he freed it, and he almost got in trouble for doing it.
He almost got in trouble? You mean from authorities?
Yeah. You're not supposed to, you know, harass a mammal.
No, but I think freeing it isn't really sort of the opposite of harassing?
Well, they have people that are trained to do it. And unbeknownst to us at the time, he just saw the whale that was entangled, and he stopped his crabbing and went out and untangled the whale.
Now, did he have to leave the boat to do that?
No.
I mean, I don't know that. I'm naive.
No.
He was able then to stay on the boat and get the whale.
He leaned over the side with with the buoy hook, we call a buoy hook, and moved it around. He actually freed it. It was caught. Some of the fishing gear was caught in a whale's mouth.
Oh.
And he removed that.
Good
for him.
And
it was dangerous. And he had, at the time, he didn't have his new boat. He had his older boat, a wood boat. And if the whale would have acted up, it could have been very dangerous.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's some remarkable videos out there that show people rescuing whales that are entangled. And they're so touching. And it really seems, number one, that the whale isn't panicking and that the whale understands what's happening. And there was the first one I ever saw, I think there were five different boats, and it wasn't near here, but I think it was five different boats. They got to the whale, and when they'd rescued her, she came to each fisherman and sort of did her version of a whale kiss. And it just, oh God, I cried through the whole thing.
Well, you know, my son, he doesn't like to admit it, but his crew members told me that the whale circled the boat after it was untangled and then moved on.
Yeah, said so, thank you.
Yeah, basically, and he, you know, my son was, he didn't capitalize on that too much, but his two crew members said that the whale did do that.
Yeah.
And that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, and I mean, they're so intelligent.
Yeah.
And I think they know, and I think that they... From some of the videos I've seen, they actually seek out human assistance, like which a lot of animals do. And we're now saying that's one of the amazing things about how easy technology is now. I mean, there's that video that's been going around of a mother duck in downtown Washington, D.C., is just like frantic, and she eventually, first one I saw, she gets the attention of a policeman and takes the policeman over to the grate, you know, the gutter grate, and then stands there, and she's just like, her chicks were had fallen through the grate, and the policeman got them all out. And they walked off. So they know something about humans. They know we have opposable thumbs, perhaps. You know, they know that we can provide assistance. And I find that so remarkable and wonderful.
Well, the one thing I'd like to add on all of this is that, you know, us as commercial fishermen, we try to be stewards of the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
We work with the Fish and Game Department, the Fish and Wildlife now is what they're called, You know, to establish means such as our breakaway cottons. If the trap is lost, the cottons will rot out and open up a hole, either a hole in the trap or pop the lid open. So if the trap's lost, the crabs that go in and out, they're not going to stay trapped.
Mm-hmm.
Also, that we have a four and a quarter inch escape ring that lets the sublegals out.
Right.
So we're considered a sustainable fishery.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to lose this, it would be just devastating to us. We'd have to go out of business. And there's a lot of people, not a lot of young people right now that are investing in this industry. Only the ones that were born into it are reinvesting into the industry, such as my son and some of the other guys that have been born into it. There's not a lot of young fishermen out there in Bodega Bay. I'd say there's probably six out of a fleet of 40.
Oh, that's not good news.
Yeah, it's really, everywhere we turn, there's something that is going to hold us back.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I mean, I've been told out of the rock cod industry that there's 125% of the original biomass out there since they've been taking data.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they don't let us go out anymore. You can't fish rock cod offshore anymore.
You can't?
No. If you're a bottom trawler, that's the only ones that can do it. The hook and line guys, which is good, we are considered hook and line.
Mm-hmm.
No way.
Is it bycatch? It wouldn't be bycatch if it's hook and line.
We can target... Right now, we can target a specific fishery and not have a lot of bycatch.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like bottom trawlers. You know, I was a bottom trawler for 4 years, and then luckily I got out of it. But the bottom trawling, that's where you...
That tears up.
Well, it could have a devastating effect on the bottom, a devastating effect on the crabs. But we need that there, and it's limited now.
Mm-hmm.
It's limited, and it's considered a sustainable fishery. I don't see how, but they're considering it because there's not a lot of them out there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a bottom trawler in Bodega Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Not one. They're still working out of Fort Bragg. They come down this area and they work, but they're very limited and they have to have an observer on the boat. They're so restricted, it's unbelievable.
Now, is this one of the reasons that it's gotten really hard to find sand dabs?
Yes. You know, speaking of sand dabs, we were just talking about that today.
I love sand dabs.
We're going to explore hook and line fishery because it still is an open access fishery.
Mm-hmm.
That means you can go out there unrestricted and you can catch what you need or what you can catch.
Mm-hmm.
It's now beginning to become a hook and line fishery, which we're exploring that because there is Asian markets in the area that'll buy a lot of sand dabs.
And for a while, when, say, K&L Bistro first opened in 2001, it seemed like there was almost always sand dabs on the menu. They haven't been there for a really long time. I used to go to Pacific Market or wherever, and I could get sand dabs. Now I have to hunt for them.
Yeah, because it's limited to, the bottom trawlers. There's a few bottom trawlers still working out of San Francisco. But, that's the only ones that are catching.
Yeah, it's not $2.99 a pound anymore either.
No. Well, I don't know what it's going to be to the fishermen, but we're looking into that. Mm-hmm. I was talking to a gentleman today that we want to explore it and try it.
Mm-hmm. That's great news. How about some more music from the Water Boys? Okay, Water Boys, Tony Anello, Dungeness Crab. Okay, two more questions, and I think we have time to go into it. With all of these restrictions, who is your competition? Has this become our better, bigger, like corporate fishermen? Is there such a thing? Is there big competition from bigger companies?
No.
Oh, okay.
No,
good.
No. That's not the issue there.
Okay, good.
No. These are private individuals. They're independent people. They have their own little boats. You know, the biggest boat we have in Bodega Bay is probably a 60-footer, 65-footer. And the rest of us are in the 40-foot to 50-foot class, and some a lot smaller. And what makes it basically, that's the call of the sea is the independence.
Yes.
You know.
And the individual. And
yes.
Yeah.
So it, no, the big corporate business, fishing business is from Seattle up to Alaska.
Alaska, yeah. I saw some of it when I was in. I spent about 10 days on Kodiak Island living at two different fish camps. And I went out towards the end of salmon season. So I went out with them one day when they were picking fish and then uploading it to the trawler. And then I also went into the processing plants where they did the flash freezing and that sort of thing. So it was really interesting to see all that up close. But it was 97-98% of it was going to Japan. And the companies were owned by the Japanese. And they flew me up. I was one of the only riders they ever took up there. And I still don't know how they found me. But there was not, there were not a lot of magazines that were interested. I was trying to play stories because we couldn't get the fish.
Yeah.
And it was just, I was being flash frozen and sent to Japan.
It's foreign markets based, that's for sure. You know, right now we're getting a lot of bottom fish from Canada, shipping them down from Canada and Washington. In our own local area, it's hard to get good fresh local fish now.
Yeah.
You know, because there's not a lot of people fishing.
Yeah.
Right. We all invested in to go deep water black cod fishing here recently, and the quota was pretty good. You could, my son was fishing, some of my friends were fishing it. I even invested in money into doing it, and then they closed it down for 2 months. And they closed it down right November 1 when we needed it for not going crabbing. We could have used it.
Yeah.
And it just seems like everything at this point, I don't mean to be crying, but everything at this point is working against us.
Okay, you can cry.
Yeah, well,
you know,
I broke down.
We will cry with you.
You know, honestly, I broke down the other day, and I says, "What am I crying for? I'm a grown man."
You know, there's a lot of really good reasons that you're crying, and I'll share one of them, because most people never think about this, and most people say, "Yeah, why am I crying? I'm grown up. I shouldn't cry." At least two things happen when you cry. First of all, if you're crying because you're chopping onions, not much happens chemically. But when you're crying for an emotional reason, first of all, your tears have a hormone whose name I don't remember that is one of the body's feel-good hormones. So this is coming out, and it's helping actually not just the physical act, but the chemical act. But the other thing is it rids your body, emotional tears rids your body of toxic proteins. So it's actually, instead of holding in emotion and, you know, being stoic about it, it's actually extremely healthy to let those tears flow. So there you go.
Well, that's good.
And, you know, it's the body, I mean, our bodies are so perfect in so many ways if we just let them do what they naturally do. Now I want to talk about, I want people to understand the life cycle of the crab. I've spent a lot of time over the years talking about the life cycle of the salmon. And we read about that. And I think a lot of people now know that Pacific king salmon, you know, they swim 7 years, they hear the call of the river, and they go back and they spawn and they die. Let's talk about what happens with crab.
Well, if I may correct you, the salmon only has a 3-year life cycle.
I thought it had 5 to 7.
Very seldom.
Oh.
But the norm is 3.
Oh.
The crab's life cycle is the female Dungeness crab. This is one good thing that we have in our favor. She possesses over 1 million eggs. And when those eggs do hatch,
how are they fertilized? Are they fertilized in the open ocean or?
No, they're fertilized by a male crab.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, naturally. But, well, you know, the male crab usually in the spring, and we usually starts around March. You'll see them. That the male crab will carry a female crab around for a period of time and to inseminate those eggs and make them fertile.
Oh, so it's not a general water release.
No.
Okay.
No. In fact, we'll be fishing during that time frame. When we see breeders, we don't least my boat doesn't. We mm-hmm. throw the male and the female back mm-hmm. if they're clutching. We call it a clutch. Mm-hmm. And then when that clutch is over, the males tend to get hungry, and they'll have a little run right after the clutch. Mm-hmm. But any
so they'll come into the pots.
They'll come into the pots actually carrying a female with them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's got
hey, honey, let's go to dinner.
There you go. And they do, I don't know, weeks. So that must go on for weeks. Uh-huh. So anyway, then the eggs become fertile, and she sheds her eggs, and they become larvae, and they bunch up. They seem to bunch up and run around the surface of the ocean for a period of time before they drop down. Mm-hmm. Now, if one female can produce over 1 million eggs and even 3% of 1 million survive, this is a sustainable fishery. So you have 7 years. People say a 7 year cycle. I've seen it go less than that. Mm-hmm. There's been 2-3 years in a row that we have good crabs, and then, you know, another year or two, you'll be kind of low average, and then it'll come right back up again. Mm-hmm. And it's being the bay has cleaned up and the estuaries have cleaned up a lot. Mm-hmm. I contribute that to more abundance of crabs surviving. Mm-hmm. And that's why we invested, our family invested quite a bit of money in a new boat. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for the whole family, for the shop, for my son, mm-hmm. and for my daughters. And basically, my son's he's the savior. And so we put the new boat on the fishery now, and then this devastation happening, this yeah. natural phenomenon. And it's just one of those things we have to ride out.
Yeah. Yeah. But back to the crab. So the crab, the little crab, the larva, mm-hmm. and then they drop down. And how long does it take them to be, do they have to be, 5 inches across?
No, 6 1/4.
6 1/4, okay.
They, sometimes, and I was talking to the biologist, sometimes during that life, that cycle when they drop down, they molt sometimes 3 times a year, mm-hmm. depending on how
so
much.
That means they're growing and their shells get too small. No, so, is that right?
They actually shed their shell. They uh-huh. actually back out of their shell. Uh-huh. And every time they back out of their shell, they grow substantially.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then it takes anywhere from 2 to 3 years, or more, I'd say more 3 to 4 years, uh-huh. to become a legal crab.
Okay.
Because once they get a certain size, they only molt once a year. But they do molt a lot larger than their shed, the shell that they shed it out.
Mm-hmm. I see. So they grow after they molt.
Well, they grow at when they molt. The growing process uh-huh. is while the molt goes on.
Right.
They'll back out of a shell that's quite a bit smaller. And then they start to fill out. They what we call soft shell crab.
Right.
And we really don't want to fish them, but mm-hmm. some of us will fish them. And I was guilty of that in the past, that we'd fish the soft shell crab, and all it does really, it taints the market of bad product.
Yeah.
And it really doesn't do any good. So mm-hmm. we have to either sort down real well when we go fishing and handle those soft shell crabs mm-hmm. very delicately so they survive. Mm-hmm. And then when they do come back the following season, that's when we get our rewards for taking care of them.
So if a crab never goes into a crab pot or is otherwise caught, what's their natural lifespan?
I'd say, we're just guesstimating on that. Mm-hmm. Anywhere from 4 to 5 years.
Okay, so you're catching them towards the end of their
We're catching
cycle.
Them, yeah. They're, uh-huh. they're pretty much ready to go. Uh-huh. You know, and the thing is, we have concern about this. I don't want to hammer the recreational fishery too much because everybody's entitled to access to the ocean. It was mm-hmm. given us to us by the Supreme Being to enjoy it and become part of it. Ecosystem, but what bothers me about it is they should have the same restrictions, the say size limit, and not
they don't.
No, their crabs can be 5 3/4 inches.
Oh, I thought. Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, our crabs have to be 6 1/4 mm-hmm. inches, and 5 3/4 inch crabs. You're taking our breeders.
Yeah,
that's you know they start breeding about that 5 3/4. You'll see them carrying a female. At that size. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the fish and game biologists, I don't know if they're doing their research. They don't listen to us at all, basically at all. Huh. We're on the ocean more than they are.
Yeah.
We can see what's going on more than they do. Mm-hmm. and then they're controlling it.
Sounds like the recreational crab industry is a lot bigger than I'd realized, because I never think about it, really.
Well, you know, I have to take some of that responsibility, and I'll blame some of it on my wife. I was in the charter boat business. Mm-hmm. After the earthquake in 1986, mm-hmm. I took a leave of 86, Loma Prieta.
Oh, okay.
I was involved in the fire service at that time in mm-hmm. Oakland, and I seen a lot of devastation and a lot of people that we had to cut out of cars that were gone for 3 days.
Gosh.
So I took a little leave of absence and studied to get my charter boat's license, mm-hmm. and I got my captain's license, bought a charter boat, was having a hard time making it, and my wife says, you know, why don't you think about taking people out sport crabbing? Well, I would say I made three big mistakes in my life, and that was one of them. So I started that industry.
Really?
Yes.
And in what way was it a mistake, just because it got so big?
Well, it got diversified to where I put together a whole proposal to have this industry come about, mm-hmm. which was basically it was fair. Mm-hmm. If the charter boat had 20 people certified, I wanted no more than 40 pots. Mm-hmm. And lay them out in the morning, bring them back in the night. And that's how I started it. Mm-hmm. And then it just got completely out of hand. Now they're asking for it. And I said, well, you know, let's get six crabs. Let's tone it down for six crabs. And we'll take the larger crabs to give to our customers mm-hmm. out of that. Well, it just evolved into a big thing. Now they're allowed 60 traps. Now they're allowed, instead of six, they're allowed 10 crabs.
Per person?
Per person. And they're allowed, actually, they don't participate in the fishery at all. They have the pot soaking. Instead of having the customer participate, I had them making bait. They had to participate. Otherwise, what we're doing is we're just selling crabs to them. And I don't know if there's anybody going to be listening to this, but too bad, basically.
You know, I think it's so important to understand this. What is bait? What is crab bait?
Crab bait?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we use squid and mackerel.
Oh, okay.
We use two jars. One's filled with chopped squid or cut squid, and the other's filled with cut mackerel.
Okay.
That seems to work pretty good.
Uh-huh.
One fishes fast, and the other one fishes longer. So if you have, we're supposed to tend our traps every 96 hours. Uh-huh. So, and it, weather permitting, that's in the rules.
Sure, of course.
So by that time, it's all fished out anyway, mm-hmm. so we want to turn our bait over.
Sure.
And the more you turn your bait over, the more chance you have to catch more crabs that are coming into the area.
Sure. What's the biggest crab you've ever seen?
4.8 pounds. My son caught it.
And how?
It was huge.
Yeah.
It was huge. Almost 5 pounds. In fact, I think it was it 5 pounds, Carol? Or 4.8.
It wouldn't fit on the scale.
Yeah, it was so big it wouldn't fit on our scale. So we my son, who's a great businessman, he sold it to his mother. so we could, you know, show it in the shop.
Uh-huh.
And we were going to go and have it mounted. Well, he had it in a barrel by his boat, in a garbage barrel with holes in it. And we were going to take it up to a taxidermist up in Fort Bragg. And this guy, you have to understand, Mark, he is just an animal lover. And we said, oh, go get the big crab. So he comes back up and he says, it escaped. We finally got it out of him. He let it go.
He let it go, sure.
Yeah.
After he got paid. Yeah. I remember this one time, there's a restaurant, it's gone now, in San Francisco, and it was when I was reviewing restaurants there. And I went specifically for crab, and they were live. They were in a huge aquarium,
mm-hmm.
and the chef was very, very tall. He must have weighed 400 pounds. I mean, this chef was huge. And he went to get the crab with his long tongs, and he pulled it out. I swear, the sucker was big. I mean, it wasn't 5 pounds, but it was one of the biggest crabs I've ever seen, and it was not happy. And he held it with these big clamps, walking it into the kitchen, and all of its, you know, feeler, all of its claws are just going. And I felt a little sad.
Yeah, you know, it is. We put them into the pot, they're alive naturally. And what they do is they shock and they curl up. real fast.
I've cooked a lot.
Yeah.
I couldn't go hunting, but I have killed a lot of crab. I mean, I used to. I would, almost every year, I go out to Bodega Bay, and I buy, depending on how many people are coming, I buy anywhere from 5 to 25 whole crab, put them in the trunk of my Volkswagen in garbage bags, and I get home, I open the trunk, and they've all... they're all walking around the back of my VW, and I get my big cooler with ice in it and put them in there, and then have the big pot, and just to say, you don't have to be a crab anymore, plunge it. I mean, doing it the right way, plunge them in heads first,
yeah.
Rapidly boiling water.
Right. That's, well, you know, we do a little bit more a humane thing, and it actually keeps from shedding their extremities. What we do is we put them in ice water, and in there for about 5 to 10 minutes, and that
okay.
chills them
down. I put them in the cool. They're in ice water.
Yeah, and what we do then, and we pick them up, and they're less apt to you know, hook
they're
you up.
They seem to be almost asleep.
Well, they go into kind of suspended animation. Uh-huh. They curl up, and then when you put them in the boiling water, I think they instantly it takes care of it.
Yeah.
So that, and then they don't lose any legs, because if you take a fresh crab that's really active, put him in the boiling water, he's going to shed some legs.
Yeah, and I really try not to put them in when they're active. That
yeah, you
just
want,
freaks me out.
Other people have put them in their refrigerator for a while too, and that works.
Yeah,
that helps keep them from getting shock. They will shed their legs.
Yeah, it's happened to me a few times, but I've gotten pretty good at it. We don't have much time left. 3 minutes, Mike. Yeah, we got 3 minutes left. So, what I want to leave the show. First of all, it's Spud Point Crab Company. Are you now open 7 days a week?
Yes.
Yes, I thought from 8 to 5.
Well, we open up from 8:30 to 5 o'clock. We don't start serving until about 9:30 because we open up for the fishermen.
They come out and get hot dogs, I hear.
Well, they get hot dogs to eat later, but in the morning we have about anywhere from 5 to 10 guys that show up just about every day. And our big orange cat goes out and greets them all. He's
nice.
Very famous.
If you need to know some fishermen, there you go.
Yeah.
So one thing you can certainly do is head out to the crab company and have some delicious clam chowder. But what can people do right now in the next several weeks until the season opens? What can we do to support the Bodega Bay fishing industry?
Well, fishermen are very proud. We don't want charity.
No, but what can we? But is there anything we can do?
Well, just keep on top of your legislatures.
Okay.
Legislators to help us if we do get a recognition that we need some help. You know, get into low interest loans for some of these guys. Some of these guys can't even qualify to get a loan. That's the sad part about it.
Yeah.
You know, most of the boats in Bodega Bay are pretty well set. But there's a lot of young guys.
Yeah, and we want the young people in fishing.
Well, you do, because pretty soon you're going to be getting all your product from another country, Canada or whatever.
No, we don't want to do that. We want our Bodega Bay crab.
Yeah.
It's part of the reason I always wanted to be here. I was having my mother take me to Fisherman's Wharf to get whole crab by the time I was 4.
Oh.
So I have loved it my whole life. And on that note, we are just about out of time. So Tony Anello and Quiet Carol and Quiet Holly. Hope you've had a good time, Holly, getting to see what it's like inside a radio station. Thank you so much. I know you work so hard, and I really appreciate you were willing to give up some of your Sunday to come.
Well, we really appreciate you being concerned about us. And
well, always.
You know, what we would like to do, I'd like to invite you out sometime to take a ride. And
yes, I would love that.
Cabin's all about.
I would love that.
We'll stay in touch.
All
right. Once it opens up. You're welcome to come on board.
Well, thank you
so much. We don't have a 2-day trip. Usually we're out and in the same day.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I will be a little nervous, but I also trust you.
My boat's real comfortable in it, and we do have good food on the boat.
Cool. Cool. I'll even help you cook if you want. And on that note, tune in next week for another yummy episode of Mouthful, Smart Talk about food, wine, farming, and fishing here on KRCB.